Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this hectic world in which we live, it's a really good idea to have a calendar so that you can keep track of all of your appointments. Do you have a calendar? Do you keep track of all of your appointments? I know at my job I use an electronic calendar, and I have told my staff that they also have to use the same electronic calendar. That way, when I send them a message notifying them that they have an appointment with me, they'll get that message and they'll be able to respond. But you know what? There are some people that are not on my staff that are supposed to be using the same calendaring system, but they don't. And so one time, just to make a point, I scheduled a meeting via this electronic calendar with one of my coworkers, knowing that they were not using this calendaring system, but I did it because they were supposed to be using it. And so what happened is we had several people go to their office and they were totally surprised that we were there. Now, why did that happen? It happened simply because they were deceived into thinking that they could use some other kind of calendar that was just as good. And you know what kind of calendaring system that was? A simple paper calendaring system. And that's fine, except for everybody else was using this electronic calendaring system. And this is very much like God. God has a certain calendar that He uses to keep track of all of His appointments. And He sends out meetings for people so that they know what time they should meet with Him. But you know what? Some people don't use the same calendar that God uses. And because they don't use the same calendar that God uses, they miss God's appointments. Have you missed God's appointments? If so, then you better believe it's because you've been deceived into thinking your calendar is the same as God's calendar, when in fact, the calendar that you are keeping is very probably Satan's calendar. Now, I'm not trying to offend you, but it's a very real fact that Satan has a calendar, a counterfeit calendar, and God has a calendar, His sacred calendar. So in today's program, we're going to talk about God's calendar and Satan's counterfeit calendar. Because again, if you are not using God's calendar, you are going to miss your appointments with God. So let's talk about how God constructs His calendar. First of all, God defines for us what is a day. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1 and we'll read verse 5. This is Genesis chapter 1 verse 5. God called the darkness night and the light day. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And did you catch that sequence? So the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening comes first and then the morning. That's how God marks a day. In John chapter 11, verses 9 through 10, this is John chapter 11, verses 9 through 10, Jesus Christ asked the question, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walks in the day, he doesn't stumble because he sees the light. But if a man walks in the night, he stumbles because there is darkness." So again, a day is when there is light, and an evening is when there is night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. And Jesus Christ here is telling us that at certain times there are 12 hours in the day, and by deduction we can say that there are 12 hours in the night. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 6, it says that the evening occurs or begins at the going down of the sun or at sunset. And then in Mark chapter 16 verse 2, it tells us that the morning begins with the rising of the sun or at sunrise. And then in Psalm chapter 113 and verse 3, we find that the day is marked by the cycle of sunset and sunrise. And this is supported by science. A day is scientifically measured as 24 hours because that's how long it takes the earth to make one rotation on its own axis. So to recap, a day is 24 hours split into two parts. First, an evening beginning at sunset, as an example, 6 p.m. And then secondly, there's a morning beginning at sunrise, and by way of example, 6 a.m. In that scenario, you have exactly 6 hours of evening from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and then 6 hours of morning or daylight from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And now for a week. We can find that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 31 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is in Genesis chapter 1, verses 31 through chapter 2, verse 2. This is where God defines a week. Here it says, "The evening and the morning were the sixth day, thus the heavens and earth were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." So when God ended his work and rested on the seventh day, that ended the week. And we can find further proof of that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, where it says, "In the end of the Sabbath," which was the seventh day of rest, "as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week." So again, you have the Sabbath is the end of the week, and then you have the first day which comes after that. And there is no celestial definition of a week. You can't look up into the sky and tell the beginning and the ending of a week. And science can't help us here in any way. And I think this is a special meaning that God put into the seventh day week, which ends with the seventh day Sabbath. But that's for another program. So to recap, a week is 7 days, beginning with the evening on the first day and ending with twilight on the seventh day. Now for the definition of a month. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23, we'll find this definition for a month. This is Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23. "It shall come to pass that from one new moon to another new moon shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord." Another rendering would be, "From the start of one month to the start of another month shall all flesh come to worship before me." Now, how can I render it that way? Well, simply because month comes from the word moon. So month comes from the word moon. So in reading that again, we could say, "It shall come to pass that from one month to another month shall all flesh come to worship before me," or "from one new moon to another new moon shall all flesh come to worship before me." They're synonymous. A month is scientifically measured as 29 and a half days because that's how long it takes for the moon to make one revolution around the earth. And a month begins at the new moon. And a new moon occurs when it's completely dark. And a new moon is the opposite of a full moon, which occurs when it's completely light. So a full moon is the halfway point of a month. The new moon is the start of a month. The full moon is the halfway point of a month. And now for a year. We can find a definition of a year in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 23. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 23. "It came to pass at the end of the year." Now the Hebrew word for end is tekufa, and I'll spell that. It's T-E-Q-U-P-H-A-H, tekufa. And that means the revolution around the sun. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 verse 23, it reads, "It came to pass at the end of the year, when there was the revolution around the sun." And a year is scientifically measured as 365 days because that's how long it takes the earth to make one revolution around the sun. And a year begins at the vernal equinox. The vernal equinox comes around March 21st when life is springing back from the dead of winter. And it's called the vernal equinox. The vernal part is spring. And equinox is taken from the fact that there is an equal amount of daylight and nightlight. Therefore, again, as we went back to the beginning of the day and we talked about Jesus himself saying, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" This lends credence to the fact that the new year begins at the vernal equinox when there are 12 hours in the day and equally 12 hours at night. And God says in Exodus chapter 12 verse 2 and in Deuteronomy 16 verse 1 that Abib is the first month of the year. It is obviously one of the springtime months. So Abib occurs right around March 21st at the vernal equinox. So that's the beginning of the year. Now, also, just to drive this point home, you know, you probably remember this from your science class, that a vernal equinox occurs around March 21st or March 20th when it's springtime and there's an equal amount of daylight and night light, so 12 hours of each. Then you have the summer solstice, which is June 20th when it's summertime and there's the most daylight and the least night light. So for example, there might be 16 hours of day and 8 hours of night. Then you go to the autumnal equinox, and that's usually around September 26, when it's autumn time and there's an equal amount of daylight and night light, i.e. again 12 hours of each. Then you go around to the winter solstice, which is usually around December 21st, when it's winter time and there's the most night light and the least daylight, i.e. 16 hours of night and 8 hours of day. And then we go right back around to the vernal equinox. So that's the yearly cycle that can be divided into four parts. But of course, like I said, we're also going to cover the deceptions in Satan's calendar. So the deception in Satan's calendar for a day is that the day begins at 12 a.m. midnight when there's nothing going on. In God's calendar, it makes sense. One day ends at sunset and the next day begins. In Satan's calendar, which is all mixed up and all confused, it begins in midnight, right in the middle of night when nothing is happening. Another deception. Satan's week actually starts at midnight on the first day of the week. God's week starts at sunset on the first day of the week. Satan's week starts at midnight on the first day of the week. And for the month, of course, God's month is in tune with the moon itself, whereas in Satan's calendar, it's all messed up. The new moon does not correspond with the month that you see on Satan's calendar, because Satan's calendar just sets it as an arbitrary 28, 29, 30, or 31 day period that doesn't synchronize with the cycle of the moon. Satan's months are designed to synchronize, and I say synchronize, S-I-N, synchronize, with his own calendaring system. And I want you to remember this. The moon has nothing to do with defining the year, really. The moon means month and is used by God solely to define a month. There is no such thing as a lunar year. There is only a solar year, because the year is defined as how long it takes for the earth to go around the sun. And then finally, the year itself. Satan's one of his greatest deceptions is that the year starts January 1st, again in the dead of winter when nothing is happening. God's new year starts in the springtime when life is springing back. But Satan's year starts in January 1st in the dead of winter. And believe me, this January is patterned after the pagan god Janus. And you know that also the word janitor comes from the word Janus. And what does a janitor have? A janitor has keys to open up and close doors. Well, that's taken from the pagan god Janus, from which we get the word January. And so that's how January became the first month of the year, based solely on a pagan god. So, if you are following Satan's calendar, you're going to miss God's appointments.